One verse of Scripture, Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. But as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You can be seated. Pray with us. Father, thank you this morning for your precious, precious word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. Lord, you didn't leave us down here to fumble our way through this world. You gave us a bright and a shining light, a guide, Lord, to go with us each and every day. You said you'd never leave us. You'd never forsake us. You said, Lord, I'm going away, but I'll send you another comforter, one just like me. And Lord, I praise you for him. And Lord, I ask you today to clothe us in our calling. Help us, our Father, to be a help. God will give you glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to just open the message today with this thought, an appointment that we all must keep. How many of you have ever canceled an appointment? Okay. Let me ask you this. How many of you have had an appointment? Maybe you had the flu, or maybe you had COVID. Maybe you're sick as a dog. And maybe you hadn't had a shower for a couple of days. But you got up. Say amen. If you had an appointment, what'd you do? You prepared. Amen. You brushed your teeth and took a shower because you didn't want that doctor to smell you. Amen. You made some preparations for that appointment. And there's an appointment that we all must keep. I've gained in my life a great deal of peace from this verse of Scripture. My mom was sick for 2 years, hurting in her back, unbearably in her back. They doctored her with pain pills, which causes other problems. I'm not going to go into that, but it causes other problems. And just before she was to get out of the hospital the last time, my sister said, would you run an MRI on mom's shoulder? It's killing her. And so they ran an MRI on my mother's shoulder, and she had something I'd never heard the term before, a destructive tumor. It had eaten a hole the size of a baseball in her shoulder blade. And I'm telling you, my first reaction to that was not good. Like, what's wrong with you people? You just feed somebody pain pills while cancer's eating them alive. And my first reaction was not good at all. And then, instead of getting bitter, God pointed me to this verse. He said, son, before your mommy ever come in this world, she had an appointment to leave out of this world. I get to thinking back on it, and you know, mom had 2 fairly good years up until the last month she was able to go and do. Suppose they had discovered it, and you all know what that can lead to. Just being sick, back and forth to the doctor, amen. You can't enjoy your food many times or anything else. So it's good to learn to leave things in the hands of God. But listen to me. You all, every one of us, have an appointment. An appointment. It's appointed unto men once to die. I got to thinking about some things, and I want to share some things with you just by way of introduction. The World Population Review reports that roughly 8,990 people pass away every day in the United States of America, with an estimated 345,427,000 residents in 2024. That works out to around 348 deaths every hour. So while we're meeting today, there's going to be roughly 350 people just in the United States. Now, that's not worldwide. Leave this world. Surely you're here this morning and you understand. Chris, you flew the med flight helicopter for years. And it's not always old people, is it? Not always sick people. Young people leave this world. Middle-aged people leave this world. People leave this world with disease. But people also leave this world instantly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I believe with all of my heart this morning, God has a message that we need to let settle in on us. Mark Twain said this. He said, "Let us endeavor so to live that when we come to die, even the undertaker will be sorry." Isn't that good? Amen. Death is not the extinguishing the light from the Christian. It is putting out the lamp because the dawn has come. Amen. God was dealing in my heart about this, and I got a phone call Friday morning. I'm to start revival in Illinois this week. I was supposed to start on Monday. And one of the deacons in the church that I pastored down in Carter's Valley passed away. He left a request. He's 82 years old. He said, "I want Brother Vinoy to preach my funeral." And so the pastor in Illinois graciously allowed me to start on Tuesday night instead of on Monday night. I'll stay and fulfill what I need to do here. God was already working in my heart this verse of Scripture. And then yesterday I got a phone call about Sister Margaret. If I'm going through life, I've never thought about it this way, but I want you all to stay with me this morning. If I'm going through life and somebody says, "Where are you headed, preacher?" God gave me an answer that I've never thought about before. How many could say, "Headed to heaven"? Amen. Glory to God. But there's a place before heaven. I'm headed to the cemetery. I'm one day closer, Brother Chris, to the cemetery than I was yesterday. I'm one step closer than I was when I left the pulpit a while ago. Every one of us are headed to the cemetery. You think about that for just a moment. There's only one thing that could interrupt that, and that'd be the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I wouldn't care to skip the cemetery. Somebody say amen. But outside of Jesus coming, amen, in the rapture, I'm headed to the cemetery. I want you to think about this for just a moment. The Bible said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." You say, "Pastor, how could God say something like that?" In Spain, where Christopher Columbus died in 1506, there stands a monument commemorating the great discoverer. Perhaps the most interesting feature of the memorial is a statue of a lion destroying one of the Latin words that had been part of Spain's motto for centuries. Before Columbus made his voyages, the Spaniards thought they had reached the outer limits of the earth. Thus, their motto was "Ne plus ultra," which means "no more beyond." The word being torn away by the lion, "ne" or "no," makes it "plus ultra." Columbus had proven that there was indeed more beyond. Thursday, December 21st, 1899, after cutting short a Kansas City crusade and returning home in ill health, D.L. Moody told his family, he said, "I'm not discouraged. I want to live as long as I'm useful. But when my work is done, I want to be up and off." The next day, Moody awakened after a restless night. In careful, measured words, he said, "Earth recedes, heaven opens before me." His son, Will, concluded that his father was dreaming. He said, "No, this is no dream, Will. It's beautiful. It's like a trance. If this is death, it's sweet. There's no valley here. God is calling me, and I must go." There's going to come a day, youngins, when God's going to call every one of us. And we must go. It is an appointment that we have that we must keep. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I'm going to give you three things in the message today. Let me give you this first of all. Around 125 AD, a Greek by the name of Aristides, he wrote to one of his friends trying to explain the extraordinary success of the new religion, Christianity. In his letter, he said, "If any righteous man among the Christians passes from this world, they rejoice and offer thanks to God, and they accompany his body with songs and thanksgiving as if he were setting out from one place to another nearby." And I'm going to tell you what, beloved, that's exactly what happens when the Christian leaves this world. We just set out from one place to another. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I want to key in on something today that I'm going to stay right in the chapter, but I'm going to key in on something about this appointment and about this preparation. The Word of God said in verse number 11, but Christ, this is chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse number 11, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come. You ought to underline that in your Bible. I want you to know today, now listen, I'm speaking to God's people now. Those that know that you know that you know that you've been saved by the grace of God. You've been to Calvary. You've trusted Jesus as your Savior. Beloved, there's some good things to come. Amen. The Bible said here, Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. The writer in Hebrews, we believe to be the Apostle Paul, is making a contrast between the Old Testament tabernacle and the New Testament tabernacle. The Old Testament system, the blood of bulls and goats, and the New Testament system, beloved, where we're looking to the blood of Jesus, God's darling Son. Amen. And God spoke to my heart as I plowed through the chapter and just reading and rereading and reading and praying and rereading. And I want to talk to you today about this appointment that we must all keep. First of all, and the good things that are come for the children of God. The first thing that I noticed was the price of the good things to come. Somebody had to pay a price in order that these good things could be out there in the future for the children of God. And beloved, that somebody was the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in verse number 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. I'm telling you, beloved, you're looking at a preacher that has absolutely nothing for these new Bibles that want to take out the blood. Nothing for a songbook that wants to take out the blood. I'm telling you, it's the blood of God's darling Son, the Lord Jesus, that paid the price for my sin on Calvary. And it's the price of the good things to come. Look at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. We see the price. It's the sacrifice that had to be paid, beloved, in order that we could enjoy, in order that we could be prepared, in order that we could know that for the child of God, it's not just good things to come, but thank God the best is yet to come for the children of the living God. Look at verse 16 and verse 17. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. I'm telling you, beloved, Jesus, He said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But thank God Jesus is going to have a bride in heaven because He was willing to give His life. He was willing to sacrifice His life at Calvary for you and for me, that we might enjoy these good things to come, that we might be prepared when that appointed day comes in our life. I can't put it off. I can't postpone it. I can't cancel it. I can't reschedule it. I've got an appointment. And beloved, when that appointed day comes, I'm leaving this world. I just thank God I know where I'm going when I leave this world because of the price that's been paid for my soul. Look at verse number 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, It's no remission. Beloved, down through the years, Bible believers have been accused of bloody religion and this, that, and the other. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, I love the songs. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. And so we see the price of the good things to come. Look at verse 26. For then must he offer often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Beloved, listen, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the one that John stood on the banks of the Jordan River and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He said, "Listen, I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoe latchet." But he's the one, beloved, that has the power to forgive sin. He's the one that can take our sin away. And then in verse 28, the Bible said, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Beloved, it's obvious in these verses that there was a price paid for these good things to come. I believe that if you're serious about serving God, there's a price that has to be paid. Beloved, listen, the Bible said, "Let he that cometh after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily." Amen. Daily and follow me. Beloved, there's a price to be paid. But the price that you and I could pay and do pay will never compare with the price that he paid, that we might be children of the living God. Let me give you this. Not only did God help me as I'm preparing now for this appointment to concentrate on the price of the good things to come, but I want you to see the privilege as a result of the good things to come. Many people are, they're missing this. "Oh, I have to read my Bible." No, you ought to be saying, "I get to read my Bible." Listen, there are portions of the world right now where they share pages. They just got one page for the family. That's all they got. And they'll read that page and study that page and then swap pages with another family. We got the whole book. And most of us, beloved, have got several of these books. Say amen. This old King James Bible laying around the house, here, there, and everywhere. And I'm just talking about a privilege. I want you to see what I'm talking about here. The privilege as a result of these good things to come. And I call that service. Look at verse number 14. The Bible said, "How much more shall the blood," that's the price of Christ, "who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Listen, beloved, God didn't save us just to take us to heaven. He's got a place for us to serve down here. And even, beloved, when we get to the place where Brother Don got, I loved what he said, sitting in his recliner. "I can't go to church. I can't get out." He said, "My ministry now, Pastor, is a ministry of prayer." Oh, he didn't give up. Amen. He was still preparing sermons. Amen. I'm telling you, his attitude was, "Who knows whether God will raise me up out of this recliner." Amen. I will be ready to preach if I get another opportunity to preach the word. I'm going to be ready. Thank God for men like that counted it an honor to serve the Lord. The privilege as a result. We see this honor. There's two things I want to key in on right here. Number one, because of redemption. Look at chapter 9 and verse 15. "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions." How many loves that song, "I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb"? Amen. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Hallelujah. Redeemed. Redemption, beloved. It's a privilege to be redeemed. And because we're redeemed, we have that privilege to serve the living God. And then if you look at the second part here, the Bible said here, "For this cause He is the mediator in verse 15 of the New Testament, and by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The second thing I want to key in on right here is the privilege of the good things to come, which is service. Not only are we serving because we're redeemed, but we're serving because there's a reward at the end of the way. Amen. Listen, the reward is not our motive. Amen. Love is our motive. We don't serve God because there's a reward at the end. We serve Him because we love Him. And I'm going to show you in a minute, beloved, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'm going to show you in a minute why it matters. Amen. But I want you to know something. I found in the book of Revelation where the 24 elders laid their crowns at Jesus' feet. Now the Bible speaks about crowns in the Bible. There's a crown of righteousness. There's a crown of life. There's a crown of glory. There's a crown that's incorruptible. And I'm missing one of the five. Amen. But I got four. Amen. Give me a little bit of credit. Amen. Anyway, as a crown of life. I don't know if I got that one or not. But anyway, here we go. I want you to see, beloved, that there's a reward. If those 24 elders laid those crowns at the feet of Jesus, let me ask you a question. When the saints of God go by the throne of God, do you want to go by empty-handed? I don't. I would like to have a crown to lay at His feet. Amen. I'd like to be able to cry, Lord, I'm not worthy of this crown, but You sure are. Amen. And lay it at the feet of Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians with me just a moment and chapter number 3. There's a truth painted here that we need as we're preparing, beloved. It's appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. For the child of God, that judgment will be the judgment seat of Christ. For those who are leaving this world without Christ, that judgment will be the great white throne judgment. We should never get those two judgments mixed up. At the great white throne judgment, people are being judged according to their works. In other words, beloved, listen, there are degrees of punishment in hell. And I don't know about you, but I've read enough about hell to know I don't want the best that hell's got to offer. Amen. Beloved, listen. And then the judgment seat of Christ, it's not where we're it's not where we're judged according to our works, but rather where we're rewarded according to our works. You say, well, Pastor, what about our sin? Looky here. Calvary. Listen, beloved, that's where my sin was atoned for, on an old rugged cross. Amen. But I am going to give an account of my life after I was born again, after I was saved, for the service that I have rendered to the Lord that I love. The Bible said here, for other foundation, verse 11, chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I'm going to read a little bit more in a minute, but let me give you something. You've got wood, hay, and stubble. You've got gold and silver and precious stones. You put gold and silver and precious stones into a fire, what happens? They come out unscathed. You put wood, hay, stubble into a fire, what happens? It don't come out. It's consumed in the fire. Beloved, listen, it's possible to live your life doing exactly the right thing for exactly the wrong reason. Everything that we do, we ought to be sitting here today because we love Jesus. We ought to be singing, Brother Dale, because we love Jesus. Amen. We ought to be worshiping because we love Jesus. We ought to be telling somebody this week about Jesus because we love Jesus. It ought to be about love. The Bible said you could do all these things, but if you have not charity, it profits you nothing. Not going to help you. The Bible said here, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. I don't know about you. I don't want to be in that crowd. just barely, I would word it in East Tennessee vernacular like this, I get into heaven by the skin of my teeth. In other words, I got saved, the blood of Jesus was applied in my life, my sins were forgiven, and I did absolutely nothing for the kingdom of God. Nothing to serve the Lord. I'm telling you, I've got an appointment. And when that appointed day comes, you can think whatever you want to. The desire of my heart is to hear my Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." Beloved, listen, it's not complicated, amen? God said, "I want you to walk with me. I want you to talk with me. I want you to let me lead you." And if you'll do that, at the end of the way, beloved, there'll be a reward. There's the price of good things to come. The privilege as a result. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. I don't have to preach, I get to. I don't have to get in the truck and drive 7.5 or 8 hours. That church is not real big, but people come in from everywhere. I'm telling you, I don't have to do that, I get to. Amen. Listen, it would change our attitude if we'd understand that the likes of Him wants to use the likes of us in His kingdom, in His work. And then there's this, and I believe it's more or less the most important thing. There's the person of the good things to come, the Savior, the Son of God. Beloved, let's look at a few verses of Scripture here. Look in verse number 11. The Bible said, "But Christ." You can take those two words right there. You know what? I'll give you two things right here quickly. Number one, He's our Master. You see, for years this doctrine was taught, and I don't think it's correct. Brother Chuck, I know you've heard it, that a person can be saved, but then there needs to come a time when they make Jesus Lord of their life. Some people call it lordship salvation. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Beloved, when you get saved, you don't get a Savior or a Lord. He hath made this same Christ both Lord and Christ. Amen. He's the Savior. And beloved, when He comes into our heart and into our life, Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" In other words, beloved, when we get saved, we get a master. Paul called himself a bond slave. In other words, he put himself under the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament. Beloved, slaves, I think it was 7 years, wasn't it, Brother Chris, they could be freed, or maybe it was 50 years. But anyway, there come a time when a slave could be freed. But a slave could make a choice because he had a good master. He could make a choice to stay with that master. Amen? And they would put his ear up against the door and they would bore a hole in his ear. And what that said was, "He's my master for the rest of my life. I love him. I want to serve him." Amen. I'm no longer here under bondage. I'm here now because I want to be here. Amen. What a joy it is to serve the Lord. Not because somebody makes you, but because you want to. Amen. I serve a God that changes you want to's. Amen. He changes you want to's. And the Bible said many in that day are going to say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out demons in thy name? Have we not done many marvelous works in thy name?" One of the saddest verses of scriptures I've ever read in my life. And he will hear him say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." They skipped Calvary. They skipped the blood sacrifice. They said, like Cain in the book of Genesis, "I'll do it my own way." And God said, "No, it's a blood way. It's a cross way. It's a Calvary way. Or it's no way at all." Amen. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father." So the person is my master. In one of his books, A.M. Hunter, the New Testament scholar, listen to this. He relates the story of a dying man who asked his Christian doctor to tell him something about the place to which he was going. As the doctor fumbled for a reply, he heard a scratching at the door, and he had his answer. He said, "Do you hear that?" He said, "That's my dog. I left him downstairs, but he has grown impatient. He has come up, and he hears my voice. He has no notion what's inside this door, but he knows that I am here. Isn't it the same with you? You don't know what lies beyond the door, but you know your master is there. You know what? That's how come God's people die well. They walked with the master right up to the door. They heard his voice right up to the door. And when it comes time to go through the door, all they need to know is the master is on the other side of the door. Ain't that good? Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, he's our master. And then he's our mediator. Look at verse number 12. I'm almost finished. You proud of me, Miss Eve? Okay. Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place. Brother John, I'll never forget Brother James Jones preaching that message in one of those conferences out of Hebrews 1, where by himself, he purged our sin and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. He preached Brother Dale on the subject, what's he doing sitting there? Oh, it was good. Amen. You know what he's doing sitting there, youngins? He's making intercession for us. Amen. He's making intercession for us. All of our people that are struggling with their health, beloved, those beloved that don't know which way to turn next, we have a Savior that's making intercession for us. How that ought to bless us. A mediator. Verse number 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. I'm glad I got somebody that can look over to Father, that knows what I need even before I ask him. Amen. But he said to ask. And then in verse number 24, the Bible said, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Youngins, I'm glad I have a mediator this morning. Amen. The Bible said, my little children, this is 1 John chapter number 2, I think, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. But I'm glad he didn't stop there. How many sins since you got saved? Huh? Let me ask that again. How many has sinned since you got saved? Oh, I see so many pretty halos out there. God bless you. You know what he said? I write these things unto you that you sin not. But I'm glad he didn't stop. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Boy, I'm glad I have an advocate. Amen. I'm glad I have a mediator. I'm glad this morning his name is Jesus. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, beloved, the judgment. The courage of the Civil War leader, Stonewall Jackson, how many's ever heard of him? In the midst of conflict can be a lesson for the believer. The historian Mark Brinsley wrote, a battlefield is a deadly place, even for generals. And it would be naive to suppose that Jackson never felt the animal-like fear of all beings exposed to wounds and death. But invariably he displayed extraordinary calm under fire. A calm too deep and masterful to be pretense. His apparent obliviousness to danger attracted notice. And after the first Manassas battle, someone asked him how he managed it. Here's what he said. My religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in battle as it does in bed. I got to call time out right here. I had people ask me when I was spent those 10 years in prison, doesn't it scare you to go in there? Aren't you afraid to go in there? I've actually heard stories, brother, you have too, when them gates closed. That's the last time some preachers went in there. Say amen. There was so much anxiety. Amen. When they got out, they said, I'll never go back. Amen. This is what I told him, Brother Mark. I said, I'm safer in the will of God in prison than I am standing on the street corner out of the will of God. There was a calm. And that's what Stonewall Jackson is saying here. Watch this now. He said, my religious belief teaches me to feel safe in the battle as safe in the battle as in bed. He said, God knows the time for my death. I do not concern myself about that, but to always be ready, no matter where it may overtake me. He added pointedly, that is the way all men should live, and then all would be equally brave. Think about that. We're leaving here, one by one. I'm telling you, I don't know about you all, but every once in a while it dawns on me, just in the last 12 years, how many people have left this auditorium and went into eternity. Does it dawn on you? My friends, precious people. Stephen, he told me Wednesday night, and I guess, Stephen, this is where God began to work in my heart. It's appointed unto men once to die. Stephen told me Wednesday night, he said, 10 years ago today, Pastor, we had Papaw's funeral right here in this church, Brother Fred Weston. He told me that Wednesday night, 10 years ago today. Randall, it don't seem possible, does it? 10 years have gone by. But to me, it doesn't. It doesn't seem possible. But every one of us today is a day closer to our appointment than we were yesterday. A step closer than when we came through the doors. And beloved, you say, Pastor, that's no way to live. I think it is. We're going to face Him. You can't hide that. Saved or lost, you're going to face a holy God. And I think you ought to get that on your mind. A woman said one time, she said, Ursa, heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Come to find out, it bothered me. I mean, especially when you're a young preacher, you don't like to be criticized for anything. It bothered me. I said, God, is that so? Am I so heavenly minded? I'm no earthly good. I won't go into the details, but just a few weeks went by. Here was the fact of the matter. She was so earthly minded. She was no heavenly good. Amen. How long is life? Come up here, Aubrey. Yeah. Come on, baby. She asked me if I'd announced it to the church yet. How old are you, Aub? 24? This is my granddaughter. Ain't she gorgeous? Looks like her mamma. Somebody say, thank God Almighty. Amen. Miss Eve, it seems like yesterday that she came in the world, don't it, honey? Little Aubrey. Sister Helen, let's see, honey. How old were you when you got saved?
14.
And so now that's another decade that's went by since she got saved, coming out of her Sunday school class with Sister Helen and Sister Gwen. That doesn't seem possible, does it, young'uns? But here's what I want to tell you. She's carrying a little baby. I thought about this morning, running back here and grabbing Blair when they were singing How Sweet to Hold a Newborn Baby. And if my back was better, I would have just picked Aubrey up. I've been holding an unborn baby. One's been born and one ain't. But you know that baby will get here. And the first thing you know, that baby will want some mashed potatoes. Next thing you know, that baby will be talking. And the next thing you know, that baby will be in the terrible twos. Amen. Get all the sleep you can right now. You hear me? Let me say something. Next thing you know, that baby will be on the bus. Or they'll be taking the baby to school. Next thing you know, that baby will be graduating. Next thing you know, your baby will be getting married. Then the next thing you know, your baby will be having babies. Am I right or am I wrong? Beloved, I'm telling you, we need to take it to heart. It's appointed unto men once to die. Ready or not, it's coming. We ought to prepare for that appointment. I love you. We're going to find out April the 12th. We're going to find out. I told her last night, I know what you're going to have. She said, tell me, Papa. I said, a baby. By the way, I'll say this for this sick generation. She ain't going to have a cat. You're welcome. Do me a favor, would you? Leave me a good testimony. Leave your family a good testimony. Let them know where you're going when you leave this world. It's an appointment we all must keep. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your tender mercy. God, really, it doesn't seem possible that I could be 65 years old. It just doesn't seem possible. And Lord, I know that every day that I live, I'm a day closer to my appointment. Lord, while I live, thank you for the honor of serving you. Help me to serve you, Lord, just as long as I possibly can. And then, Lord, when you're finished with me, may I be up and off to my real home. I pray you'll deal with hearts. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.